Good evening. My name is Mickey Munley here at Ripon College, welcoming you all to the Ripon Telephone Town Hall with President Zach Massetti and guests. We're glad to have several of you joining us tonight and many more hundreds joining as we complete the dialing over the next minute or so. One of the things that President Massetti has mentioned to me is that he's hopeful to take as many of your questions as possible this evening. And the way that you do that, if you recall from last time, please press zero at any time. It lets us know you have a question and we can get you in the queue. You won't interrupt anyone. Please press zero at any point for a question or comment, and we'll get to as many folks as possible. But before we go there, certainly, let's start and toss it to President Massetti. President Massetti, how are you tonight?
I'm great, Mickey. Thank you. And I'm welcome to everyone who's listening to us around the country, alums and friends of Ripon College. We come to you tonight from the campus of your alma mater in some cases. It is still winter here. There is ice in the trees, and we're hoping that spring is right around the corner, but that doesn't look likely here in the next 24 hours. Joining me here in the studios here in Ripon College today is Wayne Webster, who's our Vice President for Advancement. And on the phone, we have the Chairman of the Board of Trustees, Bob Kirkland, who is comfortably ensconced on a sofa, we hope, in Chicago, Illinois, and Doreen Conforti-Chemero, who is in Boca Raton, Florida, and is also probably enjoying warmer weather than we are here. And Doreen is class of 73, and Bob is class of 81. And we're very excited about what's been going on campus the last 6 months, and we're going to tell you a little bit about that tonight in your questions. A few quick things to highlight right off the top. This year has been we've had a record number of applications to Ripon College, 1,287 as of last count, which smashed our previous record, so we're hoping for a good class that will start next fall. Our campaign, the Imagine Tomorrow campaign, which so many of you know about, is a $50 million campaign. We went public on February 1st, announcing that we were already north of $35 million, and that number continues to push up. We've got a lot of challenges still ahead, but we're very excited that we're going to meet our goal. And we've had architects on campus here in the last couple months talking to various stakeholders and on campus and in our community about the renovation of Storzer, our athletic and wellness and recreation center. So we're looking forward to telling you more about all of those questions tonight. And I think, Mickey, with that, maybe are we ready to take a first question?
Actually, we are. And so before we do that, though, I remind everybody, please press zero at any point. For any question, it lets us know so we can put you on live to ask your question. And with that, we'll go to our first question, Greg in Maryland. Greg, you're on live. Please go ahead with your question.
Well, good evening, President Massetti. Greg Peterson, class of 78. It's great to hear from you again. I think we're all pretty excited to hear about the Imagine Tomorrow campaign, and I think many want to help our alma mater out more than ever. So all along we've had the annual fund to give to every year to help the students, faculty, and the school. So for us, what's the difference between giving to the annual fund and the Imagine Tomorrow campaign, and are the two collections related or different, if that's the case?
Greg, thanks for your question, and it's a good one. The annual fund and the Imagine Tomorrow campaign are actually hand in glove in some respects. When you give to the annual fund, and I've been going around the country meeting with alumni groups in places like Cincinnati, Ohio, and Anaheim, California, and Boston, people want to give to the campaign, and then they give these gifts to the annual fund that count towards our ultimate goal. The idea is that we would raise $2.2 million each year in our annual fund, and then over 5 years, that equals $11 million, which contributes to that overall $50 million number. And that $11 million helps support scholarships, general facility maintenance, and faculty and staff salaries on a year-to-year basis. And we're real excited with the kind of support that Ripon's getting. I mean, we have about 10,000 alums, more or less, around the country, and when you look at the percentage of giving and the amount of interest that our alumni give to us on an annual basis, we really surpass many of our ACM counterparts and punch way above our weight in terms of the actual per number of dollars that are given per alum. So we're very proud of that we can point to that when we show the kind of broad giving that we get from our alums. I don't know, Wayne, do you have something you might want to add on that as well? Because you see this on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I guess to summarize, the annual fund is critically important to the lifeblood of the institution today. I mean, it really undermines what we're doing in terms of faculty and staff salaries, facility maintenance and upgrades, scholarships and financial aid. So as we're building the endowment through the campaign, which we'll get into, and as we're looking at significant upgrades to facilities, making sure that we're meeting our goal for the annual fund today to support our current needs is vitally important. So it's absolutely one of the critical benchmarks and cornerstones of this campaign.
You know, and the other thing I always say to people is that every donation counts, and that's what's so important here is when we look at people who've given, one of the things that's very impressive about what you see now at Ripon is people who used to give $250 are now giving $350, and people who gave $500 are giving $1,000, and we love that momentum that people sort of see that the college is on the move and needs their help in order to keep going forward.
All right. So before we go to the few folks who are in line, I remind everybody again, please press zero if you have a question to ask. President Massetti would love to get to as many of those as possible. But he has a question for you. And so you can use your telephone keypads to answer. We're all very curious here. Of the three major priorities that are part of the Imagine Tomorrow campaign, which do you feel is most important in securing Ripon College's future? Please press 1 if you believe it's the annual fund, press 2 for the endowment, and press 3 for planning for facility upgrades. Again, of the three major priorities, which do you feel is the most important for securing Ripon's future? And on that note, I'll remind everybody again, please press 0. And we're going to go now to Jeff in Keewasham, Wisconsin. Jeff, you're on live with your question. Go ahead, please.
Hello, sir. Question is, knowing the president's background, I was wondering if the National Security Program minor could possibly be changed to a major in the future.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for your question. I know you're calling from Quascom, Mickey. You're not a Wisconsin guy, but that's all right, Quascom. You know, Jeff, I was just at, right before this phone call, I was just at presentations that the national security major students or minors were making in Lamont Colucci's class. And there was somebody talking about the U.S.-China relationship, whether Vladimir Putin was going to be a threat in the future, and somebody else about border security. They were excellent presentations, critiqued by Professor Colucci. So we have a core number of students here who really are interested in national security. And obviously this is something that I care about as well. And, you know, at my inauguration we had former Director of Central Intelligence George Tenet, who spoke. As that major continues to grow, I think we'll probably take a look at things like turning it from a minor into a major. But right now, the minor seems to be doing quite well, and I know Professor Colucci has a following of students around the country who care deeply about the program. And in fact, I know there's a group, particularly in Washington, D.C., who we'll be meeting with next year on a career trip. So there's a really good core group of people who I think care deeply about the program, and I suspect it will develop nicely over the coming months and years. Bob and Doreen, let me ask the two of you a question. I know you've both been on the Board of Trustees for over a decade each, great service to the college. What do you see that's going on now at Ripon, perhaps, Bob, you to start, that maybe is different than had been going on in the past? What kind of momentum do you see coming forward here in the next few years?
Well, I think a big part of this momentum comes with hiring a new president. And clearly, the Board of Trustees, mandated that the candidate and the new president, in this case, you, Zach, part
am
of
I
your
the president,
job is,
Bob? Am I actually still the president?
that part of your job is to take the college to the next level.
Right.
And what does that mean? Well, it's the next level in many regards. In this case, raising money to secure the future for Ripon College, but also raise the profile of the college, increase the quality of the education, and change the way we do things, and I think that's accepted across campus that that's what we were looking for in a new president, and that's what we got. And so I think most people are on board with it and have joined hands to help you as its leader.
Well, and you know, Bob, and before we get back here to the phone lines and answer a question, one of the things I think we're really excited about here, and many of you have heard this, the Washington Post selected Rippon as one of the 13 most important commencement addresses to watch this spring, as we have Nate Silver of the New York Times who will be delivering our commencement address. So that speaks to this idea that we need to be out there in national media and having great public speakers who are coming here. We had Karl Rove who came in February to a standing room only audience, so we're going to keep doing those kinds of things. Mickey, let's get back to the phone lines here.
All right, great. So we're going all the way to Asheville, North Carolina. Ramona, you're on live with President Massetti. Please go ahead with your question.
I'm wondering if the college is making an effort to contact members of the National Forensic League. This is how I got to Rippon as a lone Southerner. And these students all are strong academically, and contacting them with the congratulations of their success in speaking and offering even a small scholarship would, I think, be very useful. So I would look at their roles and find out. I don't know if you still have the national office in Rippon or not, but everybody knows about.
That's right. No, Ramona, thank you very much for your question. The National Forensic League, or the NFL, is still located here in Rippon, Wisconsin, and we're very proud of our forensics team. Dino Pape, who leads that team, has really done a terrific job this year. The team actually ended up going to the national championships, finished in the quarterfinal round.
I didn't know that.
But
great.
They did, and they actually beat a school that I used to teach at, St. Mary's College of Maryland, in the round, I think, of 32. But we also had several individual debaters who've gone on to the national championships. And then we have a wonderful core of students who are pursuing PhDs around the country that Dino and Jody Roy and some of the other faculty here have really mentored very well, who we expect will do great things in their field. So forensics and communication is such a strong part of Rippon's DNA, and we hope to keep building that program. And you're right, we get people from all over the country who hear about Rippon College because of our forensics and communication program. Okay, Mickey, do we want to say the results of our poll?
Sure. So after the voting is in, and interestingly, in your choice for which would be your highest priority of the three major priorities in the Imagine Tomorrow campaign, 43% of you said that the endowment should be the highest priority. And then it was about an even split between the endowment, between planning for facility upgrades and the annual fund. So interesting responses, sort of reflective of a lot of the challenges that Rippon is facing as it looks to sustain and grow its future. To that end, it looks like Gordon has a future-oriented question. Gordon, here in Rippon, it looks like you're on with the president. Go ahead with your question, please.
Gordon.
Yes.
How are you? Do you have a question?
Yes, I'm talking about maybe the future of implementing a new kind of out-of-the-ordinary major in foreign languages, but international studies that would combine, you know, all the important ingredients, English and speaking and writing, history, geography, all of the things you need to get involved in the international scene. You know, right now we get a little bit of a lot of it, but we don't get much of any of it.
Gordon, that's an excellent question. In fact, you know, Rippon College does have a global studies program that you can major in at the college that Marty Farrell leads that is largely cross-disciplinary. You have to take some classes in history and politics, foreign language, culture, and we see an increasing number of students, obviously, who want to pursue graduate work also in international relations or international studies. I, you know, this is the field I came from, so I care deeply about it. And my sense is that people who are graduating today, the careers that they are going to have are largely going to be in some cases, lived or at least interacting with people from all over the world. They're going to travel all over the world. They're going to communicate with people all over the world. So the ability to do business, whatever that business is, whether it's non-governmental organization work, charity work, government work, or just straight-out business, the ability to understand the world is crucial. So I also suspect that global studies will be a major that will continue to grow here at Ripon. And, you know, I wanted actually to bring Doreen into this because the results of that vote that showed endowment being so critical to the future of Ripon, 43% of the respondents on our poll said that really was the key element for this campaign. And Doreen, you know, you and you've been so generous to us with an endowed chair. You want to talk a little bit about the endowed chair in theater and also talk about how important it is to build the endowment at the college?
I would be more than happy to, Zach. I even wanted to add to your prior question about the momentum of the college because it ties into this. I've been a board member for 16 years, and over the course of that time, I it's become very obvious to me how important endowment is to a school of Ripon size and that how much we needed to grow our endowment to then become the even better image of what we have in our minds for Ripon College. I want to thank Zach for coming here and jumping into this campaign midway, really, and embracing this this understanding of how much we need to grow our endowment. I am so thrilled with the momentum and the way our alumni and friends have supported this effort already to date. I myself wanted to participate in that effort given how strongly I feel about endowment. And so my husband and myself enjoy theater, and when I looked at all the activities that go on campus, even in very small departments, they're vibrant, and many times are held back by a lack of funds for salaries or activities for the students in those majors. So I tied that to my love for theater, and I decided to endow a chair in that area. And since then, I've also met some students who are in the theater department and have personally got to talk to them, and their excitement is contagious, and I am very thrilled that I was able to make this kind of a gift.
Well, Doreen, our thanks to you and David, because these are the kinds of gifts that make differences that really last forever, that people will benefit from this for generations to come, and so it's such an important thing. Let's maybe, Mickey, go back to the phone lines here with another question.
You bet. Andrew in Pennsylvania, you're on now. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi there, Zach.
Hi, Andrew.
My name's Andrew Kitzler from class of 2006, just outside of Philadelphia. And my question, actually, Camille had a great segue towards this. It was endowment related. For those of us who are not necessarily immersed in this type of information, could you tell us a little bit more about how Ripon fares compared to other ACM colleges or those you would consider our peers and who our peers might be?
Sure. Thanks for the question. So Ripon's endowment right now is at about $70 million, which is a historic high. And we hope actually by the end of this campaign that it'll hit about $80 million. And this is important for those of you who understand and want to understand how Ripon's budget develops. We can take a draw of about 5% off that budget, off that number every year. So 5% off $80 million ends up being a $4 million draw, and that's critically important. Now the issue here is the kinds of schools that we benchmark ourselves against. So some of the schools that we benchmark ourselves against are schools like Knox College in Illinois, which has an endowment that's more or less what we have. But then you look at other schools like Lawrence, which has an endowment north of $250 million, and Beloit, which endowment is at about $125 million, and they're able to draw 5% off those numbers. And so I look at those institutions and say we need to continue to build our endowment so that we can continue to use the money that comes off the interest from it to do the kinds of things that students expect now, not just in the classroom, but outside the classroom, these fabulous Maymester programs that we've been running. We have this now new career trip, some of the service trips that are taken to places like Panama during the break. We want to continue to do the extra things that are so important for students. And in addition, we want to have first-class facilities. And, you know, there was a tremendous amount of building that was done here at Ripon between about 1955 and 1975. And there hasn't been a lot since then, although there have been some upgrades that are significant. So there are a couple of these buildings, the athletic facility, the science hall, far hall, and also the library, that need some significant upgrades here over the course of the next decade so that we can continue to attract the best and brightest students from around the country and from the upper Midwest to come here. So, Mickey, maybe are we ready for another question, or do we want to go back to the phone lines?
We're ready to go back to the phone lines. Mary Jo in Park Ridge has a question related to recruiting students, I think. Mary Jo, you're on live. Go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, President. My question is how we're doing on our admissions metrics, especially versus last year, which I know was somewhat of a disappointment.
Mary Jo, thank you. Thank you for this question. As I said right off the top, and some of this I'll recap, is we've had a record number of applications this year, 1,287. We probably will hit 1,300 before we're done. Now, the way, of course, this works is not everybody who applies is admitted, and not everybody who's admitted decides to come to Ripon. Right now, what we're looking at is probably a class of somewhere between about 250 to 280, and that would be a good class for us. It's right in our zone of where we would like to be, and I think in some cases we may even be able to go a little bit higher than that 280 number. The thing that's also wonderful about the numbers this year is we see an uptick in students applying to Ripon from the Chicago area, from the Minneapolis area, and from the East and West Coasts. This is really exciting because, in addition, we've been able to increase our numbers of applicants from Milwaukee and from the Fox Valley. So this, too, is very exciting about where we could be. Now, we're in an interesting time right now where colleges all over America are holding their breath a little bit because by May 1st, students have to decide where it is they want to go. So there's a little bit still of uncertainty here in these next 3 weeks about what our actual number is. But the numbers are looking very good, and the academic quality is looking very good, which is something we're also proud of. The incoming class, at least, of the people who have decided to come here already this year, the ACT score is at 24.4, which is a tick above where we've been the last 2 years, with GPAs also looking very good and, of course, great extracurricular activities. So bigger class, but also a strong academic class. This is exactly what we want to do. But as I've been telling people since the beginning, recruiting students to come to Ripon is a political campaign. It never stops. And we've got to be constantly thinking about what we can do better, and how we can continue to communicate to people that we have a difference, that our personalized education experience here is different than you would if you were going to a UW school or even if you were going to one of our competitive private liberal arts college schools. But thank you for that question.
You know, this might be a good time, based on what you just mentioned, Zach, is to ask everybody what aspect of your Ripon College experience as an alum or as a parent of a student do you most value? In other words, what's that memory or the experience from your time here at Ripon that you still value so much today? Would that be faculty and student interaction? Press 1 if it is. Press 2 if it's the wide variety of academic and co-curricular programming. Or press 3 if it's the close-knit community and engagement you found here at Ripon. So again, 1 for faculty and student interaction, 2 for wide variety of academic and co-curricular programming, and 3 for the close-knit community. And while you're answering that, we'll pop over to Michigan. It looks like Rich in Grand Rapids has a question about travel. Rich, you're on live with the president. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, as you go out publicly with your endowment campaign, which I think 43% of the people said is the most important function they look at for funding, your advanced placement people, your advancement office does a nice job of getting over here, but I'd like to see some of the higher-ups maybe get out and a touch to alumni. And I know I get invites to a lot of things in Milwaukee, but they seem to take place during the week, and it's very hard for me to take off time. And I was wondering if sometime you could have some of those events on weekends in Milwaukee or Madison. which might allow more alumni to attend?
Rich, thanks for your question. You bet. I am all for it. As I'm sitting here looking at Wayne and I have been racking up the Marriott miles or Marriott's free stays. We've been traveling all over the country, and we've done a lot of events both on weekdays and on weekends, and it's been a great way for me to get to know alumni all around the country. And I'm, you know, my wife and kids, I'm not so excited about me keeping up this pace, but we're going to be continuing to travel and see people. And I see that Grand Rapids really is directly across Lake Michigan from where we are right now. So I'm looking at Wayne right now. We're going to figure out a way to do an event that's somewhat closer to you, perhaps on a weekend at some point in the next year. So stay tuned. We'll be there.
All right, great. Thanks so much, Rich. So now we'll go to Tony, who has a question about other potential revenue streams, I believe. Tony, you're on live with President Massetti. Go ahead, please.
Hi, President Massetti.
Hi, Tony.
I work up in the admission office, and I've been at the college for 40 years, so I've seen a lot of times there's been some good times and there's been some bad times with financially. And with times being, you know, financially tight, what types of creative revenue streams would you propose?
Tony, thanks for your question, and, of course, always all the good work that you're doing on a day-to-day basis for us. One of the things that's exciting is our faculty right now are debating a program called Liberal Arts in Focus. And what this would be is 2 3-week block sessions that would be in May and then another that would be in the 3 weeks that lead into the semester in the fall. And what this would be an ability for a faculty member to work in a concentrated time period with students who would be living here on campus during really the nicest season to be at Ripon in the summertime. So, for instance, you could imagine a biology professor working out on the prairie with students who are able to just do that all day long on a nice May afternoon. And so the idea here is hands-on work on campus, internships, practical experiences that illuminate the liberal arts while you work with your faculty members. So this is one way that our faculty, and they're still debating how it's actually going to look, they're still debating the question of whether or not it'll work or not, but this is one way that we're starting to think about both curricular ideas, pedagogical ideas that work, but also new revenue streams. And then summertime, you know, is an active time here at Ripon. We host the EAA, we host Badger Boys. These are all things that are also important to us in terms of summer revenue. But one of the thoughts behind the renovation of the athletic facility of Storzer is that there really is no facility like this within about 30 miles of where we are right now, that this will become a hub during the summertime and, for that matter, during the academic year for basketball tournaments, for athletic events, for other big events that camps might want to have here. And when you have a first-class facility like the one we're planning, we also expect that will generate additional revenue.
All right, great. So I want to report back on the results of the last question. Kind of interesting, I think really speaks to some of the power of the Ripon experience. So 48% of you said that faculty-student interaction was your most valued experience. 41% said close-knit community engagement. And while just 11% pointed to the wide variety of academic and co-curricular programming, President Massetti, it seems to me that's not a negative about the academics, just more so a positive about the kinds of people that make up the Ripon community, wouldn't you say?
I think that's exactly right. And Doreen, you can vouch for this too. The experience that you had at Ripon was driven by that faculty-student interaction and the close-knit community and engagement.
Oh, absolutely. And I, having met lifelong friends and to come back also as a trustee and interact with faculty that still remembered me after all those many years, it just is an amazing experience, and it never seems to end. There always seem to be new connections happening all the time.
Bob Kirkland, who were your faculty members when you were here? Who were the people that really spoke to you?
Well, many of them are still around. You know, we had Paul Shoups, who is still teaching. He was a young professor at that time, And I also had Bill Woolley, who recently retired, but Jack Livingston in economics. And, I think there are probably three or four who are still there. But I think the important thing that people ought to know is that the faculty treasure those relationships that they built over the years, and they still speak highly of the students that they taught. And I spend a lot of time at Ripon, and I talk to the faculty often, and it's definitely a two-way street.
Well, Mickey, shall we go back to the phone lines here?
We should. And now we'll go out to Manitou Springs, Colorado, to Colleen, I believe, who has a question. Go ahead, Colleen.
My name is Colleen Hennigan Johnson, and I'm a 98 Ripon graduate. My husband is a 96 Ripon graduate. And today, I'm a high school teacher, and I had my third student of mine who has committed to attend Ripon.
Right.
And
yay.
And I just want the Ripon community to know that my husband and I had an incredible experience, and I often think of Professor Woolley, and there's so many people. Every time I watch the news, I think, what would Professor Blake say about this? And so we all have those just unbelievable connections with the faculty many years after graduating. But to be able to call Jeremy, one of your fantastic forensics kids, is a student that I recommended to Ripon, and to give a diamond in the rough to your alma mater and know that they not only will be taken care of and cherished and educated, but kind of watered into this incredible young human being is very reassuring. We live very far away. Most of their parents don't know where the hell Ripon is. And when you have someone say to them, I guarantee you that they will get a great education and they will be well taken care of, and then that happens, as an alumni and as an educator, that's a great feeling. And
Colleen,
that.
I mean, the person you used, and I think you're talking about Jeremy Johnson, is that right?
Yes.
And Jeremy, was, as you said, was this diamond in the rough who, if Ripon did anything, we just polished him up, and now he's getting his graduate degree at Penn State on a full ride.
Yes, he is.
So he's someone we're very, very proud of here, and I think that's a great story to share. And also, I just love the fact that you and your husband have helped us with recruiting students from Colorado this year. That is absolutely terrific.
You have another diamond in the rough coming.
Well,
first generation. And I can tell you, it's nice to be able to. My husband played 4 years of college football at Ripon, and was a biochem major, and 4 years of club rugby, and for me to be able to call Ron Ernst and say, hey, I got a great kid. I want you to start talking to this kid, and have Ron really take an interest, have Linda from athletics, have Eliza from admissions, all helping us help this kid. It really does kind of take a village, especially for these great first-generation college kids. And I think
absolutely.
That's a legacy.
And, the other thing that's so great about what you're saying, Colleen, is we're going to be, in the next couple of years here, starting to use alumni much more around the country to help us recruit students to come to Ripon. Because, as you say, who perhaps in Colorado, our name recognition isn't great, but you get a few terrific students who come to Ripon, have a fabulous experience, they come back and tell their friends, and all of a sudden in that community, Ripon is a hot school. That's the way
right.
it develops in terms of recruiting people from faraway places. So thank you
but
for everything you're doing for us.
All right, great. Thanks so much. Now, William in Madison has a question. William, you're on live. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Mistetti.
Hi, William.
I was calling tonight. You mentioned some of the facility priorities in this campaign, and I'm just kind of wondering what maybe the next steps are that we'll be taking, and then maybe also possibly what we as an alumni body can do with some of these priorities and what sort of help we could provide.
Thanks for your question, William. Well, I'll tell you that the next steps, at least here on campus, are is that we are continuing to meet with our architects and try and map out what the building ought to look like, some of the plans for Storzer and how it will actually be renovated over the course of the next few years. And, you know, this is a major project. One of the things that I was taught as an administrator when I was a dean is that if you're going to do buildings, you ought to do them right or you ought not do them at all, and that we're not really interested here in putting a Band-Aid on a building that's 45 years old. Remember, Storzer was built in 1967. Before Title IX, so it was built before women's athletics really came into its own. It was built before the recreation revolution. I mean, today there is hardly a student who doesn't want to work out on a regular basis. And no offense, Doreen and Bob, but my guess is your generation was not working out on a day-to-day basis back in the day. Is that right?
That's right. I just wish Title IX would have been passed while I was a student.
So when you talk about, William, when you talk about next steps, I think the kinds of things that we're going to be looking at from alumni in the next year or so is as soon as we have drawings and a visual ability to show people what we're looking for, we're going to probably start taking this on the road a little bit, showing people what it is, asking people their opinions of this, and to be quite frank, also asking people to help us raise money to make sure that this project comes off. I mean, the project is right now in our mind's eye, but we feel very strongly, given the strength of the campaign and given the real momentum that the college has, that we should be able to raise the money that's necessary to renovate Storzer here in the next few years. So we'll come to you, and we'll make sure that you have a sense of what this building is about.
All right, great. Maybe we can plumb everybody's opinions here about this right now. So we have another question for you. So as we begin planning the renovations and additions to Storzer and the other athletic and wellness facilities here, which priority do you think should most drive the planning process? Should it be 1, varsity athletics, 2, recreation, or 3, fitness and wellness? It'd be great to sort of test your opinion here. So again, as we begin thinking about these renovations to these facilities, what should drive it? Varsity athletics for 1, press 2 for recreation, 3 for fitness and wellness. And while you're voting, we'll go ahead now to Lawrence, who's in, I believe, Kent, Ohio. Lawrence, you're on live. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, Dr. Masicki. So
hi, Lawrence.
I have a question. So I'm alumnus of 2011. My major was physics, and one of the things I've noticed with all the conferences I've gone to, the internships I've had abroad, the experiences I've had abroad, is anytime they ask, okay, where do you go to university? I say Ripon College, Ripon, Wisconsin. They go, where's that? What's that? What are they known for? So my big question is, with this campaign, what is the college's plan to try and improve the visibility, improve the Ripon name in all realms, whether it be not just athletics or politics or the national security, but chemistry, biology, physics. We have amazing programs, but it, to me, seems like a shame that they aren't better known.
Lawrence, thanks for your question, and you are so right. We have amazing science programs here, and I was just having dinner with a couple of students 2 nights ago who were telling me about the travails they are having in organic chemistry and sort of how it weeds people out, and they really were saying great things about various faculty members, and it really is a strong program for us. I think, though, this question of visibility is one that's really important to Ripon, and if you go on our website today as opposed to 6 months ago, you'll see just at a very basic level, we are now really playing at it with a first-rate website. We have entered the social media world very, very strongly as well in the last 6 months. Great videos that you'll see up on screen, terrific Twitter feed, Facebook, things going up very, very fast as well and being refreshed quickly. So some of these nuts and bolts, basic things of the new media world, we've done very well, and I'm actually sitting here next to Melissa Anderson, class of 2002, who we managed to steal away from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who's running this project for us. We've really probably moved ahead, I don't know, 7 years in the space of the last 6 months. So that's a really good start. The other thing that Melissa has been leading us on is some of the bread and butter, what you might call the mainstream media. We're seeing many more articles about RIFN in press and in television around the country, some of our faculty being cited as experts in things, people writing op-eds and opinion pieces, our sports teams and our athletic achievements also being trumpeted as well, and this is something we're proud of. The other thing that's great, and you talk about these individual stories that come out of places like physics or chemistry or biology, we have some terrific individual stories that we've been talking about a lot more visibly of people who've succeeded well, people who are now in first-rate graduate programs around the world and who are achieving, and these are the kinds of things we also need to continue. But this can't, the thing that's important here is this can't stop. You've got to continually be improving your media image and your social media outlets and never stopping trying to develop relationships with other outlets around the country so that RIFN gets better known. So I guess we'll move back to the phone lines.
All right, and with that, we'll go to Dave in Lakewood, Washington. Dave, you're on live. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Dr. Massetti. This is Dave Kennicott, class of 68. I'm calling from out in Washington State. My question is, I'm very excited about what I'm hearing tonight. In looking to the future of RIFN and the building development and programs, are you aiming for a school that roughly the same size it is now, or are there thoughts of expanding the student population?
Dave, thanks for your question, and I'll also probably let Doreen and Bob weigh in on this too. But I think, you know, you've got to think about this in probably several steps. And the first step is for us to get our student enrollment sort of where we'd want it to be at step one, and that's at about 1,100 students. Once we get there, and I'm confident we will get there in the next 3 or 4 years, then we probably have another choice to make, which is do we want to get larger, do we want to become a bigger school, or do we want to become a more selective school, meaning we want to turn down more students but hold our total number of students the same. And that's a debate that we, you know, are probably still several years away from having, but I hope to have probably within the next 3 to 5 years. I don't know, Bob, do you have an opinion on that?
Well, I think the infrastructure of the campus is sized for 1,100 students. That is based on, you know, the number of beds you have, the number of classrooms. If you decide to be a school of 2,000 or even 1,800 students, you know, then you have increased faculty and faculty offices and, larger eating facilities, and those kinds of discussions start to come up. So we really have to stabilize, I think, around the 1,100 number and start to look to the future from there.
Good. Mickey, maybe our next question.
All right. Before we do that, I thought I'd report back on the results of the last poll where we asked about people's thinking for priorities driving the athletic facilities. Two-thirds felt that fitness and wellness should be the main driver behind the design. 24% thought varsity athletics and 10% recreation. So we've got time here. We've got lots of questions, and we're well beyond time. So maybe we could take one more question and then also let you do a wrap-up. So I think we're going to go to Doc, is it Weiske? I apologize if I've mispronounced your name, Doc, but you're on live. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you very much. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Doc.
I have been very interested in hearing the different comments that have gone on during this, which was a great idea. I'm very ashamed because I, in turn, did not get in on the basic thing. That's what's happened to short-term memory of old people. And anyway, as you well know, I've been very interested in the athletic program and what you are planning to do with Storgen. And I'm wondering if we have had any success in approaching some of the people that we might be able to name the improvement on as far as giving some money towards the advancement of Storzer, and in turn being able to perhaps give them the name of whatever edition is, so their name is still alive in the history, like on Storzer's, whom I had the very privilege of coaching with for several years before his passing. And anyway, I just think that it's terrific that you are making plans to in turn improve that facility, so that we don't have every spring a Chinese New Year's, because we are a baseball on one end, we got volleyball still going on, we got basketball practice if they qualify for postseason play, and baseball starting and balls flying off.
Well, Doc, I don't know about baseball starting anytime soon because, of course, the weather here has been so awful that the players haven't been able to go out on the field. You know, for those of you who are listening, that was Doc Wieske, who is a legendary figure, really, in Ripon history and in Ripon sports history. Doc was a great coach here at Ripon and still attends Ripon basketball faithfully. And one of the great things I loved, it always sends chills up my spine when I see it, is at the men's basketball games, Doc and Coach Gillespie sit in the front row and watch the game being introduced. And this year, Coach Kane, at all the introductions, would send over each player as they were introduced, who would go and give Doc and Coach Gillespie a hug. And I just thought that was such a classy move, both on Coach Kane's part, but also to show this history and tradition. You know, we are in the process right now of starting to talk to people about raising money for Storzer, and we've had some early successes, none that we're ready to really talk about now, except for one that I'll let Wayne brief you on a little bit, because I think it also speaks to this idea of how so many people who've come through Ripon have this very strong connection to the people that coach them.
Well, yeah, actually, speaking of Doc Wieske, right now we have a wonderful challenge going on with the Steve Hopp Challenge. I think you've seen that in the latest edition of the magazine, where Steve gave a nice gift in honor of Doc and Bob Gillespie to begin an endowment for athletics in their honor, and we're working to meet that challenge. I think we have a few $1,000 to go, and certainly appreciate anybody's help with that, and then Steve will match what's been raised. But that's a great legacy in honor of Doc, and as the planning process for Storzer moves forward, we'll obviously have plans we can start sharing for the physical upgrades to that facility with our close donors and friends, and then to a broader audience later on. But we're excited about the success of the Imagine Tomorrow campaign and where that sets us up for this next step in the history of the college.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being on the line tonight. This has been a wonderful experience. This is the second time we've done this. My thanks to Mickey and to Bob and Doreen and Wayne and Melissa and everybody who's here at Radio Free Ripon or whatever we are tonight. Thank you to all of you for your help, and thank you to all of you for listening. We will do this again because of the great response we've gotten these first two times we've done it, the college is really doing quite well. We're excited about where the next few years are headed, and we really need to thank all of you for such great support. So on behalf of Wayne Webster and Doreen Chemereau and Bob Kirkland, thank you for joining us tonight, and we hope to see you on campus here in Ripon, Wisconsin, real soon.